This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
We are so excited to welcome our guests today, Vanessa and Xander Marin, co-hosts of the Pillow Talks podcast. Vanessa is a licensed psychotherapist with 20 years of experience in the sex therapy field, and Xander is a regular dude who's been married to a sex therapist for over a decade. Their mission is to take the intimidation out of getting intimate. Welcome.
Thanks. We are very excited to be here with you guys.
So wait, the first question everyone must ask is, Xander, how does this feel for you? The regular dude.
Regular dude. Sometimes we call him like the certified cool dude or licensed cool dude.
I like that.
Licensed is good because, you know, it's I want to have some kind of license after Vanessa's like, you know, I'm an MFT. I've got 20 years of experience. No, it feels pretty awesome to do what I do and to be married to Vanessa. I think that the question a lot of people ask is like, oh, what was it like when you met Vanessa, or, you know, found out she wanted to be a sex therapist? And I thought it was pretty cool. I never thought that I would be involved in it. And you know, we've been together 14 years now. 14 years later, here I am, and it's pretty good.
How did you guys talk a little bit about how did you get comfortable starting to talk about sex in more of like a public forum?
Yeah. So initially, you know, I started off the business. I always knew that I wanted to be a sex therapist. I was just endlessly fascinated by sex. And so I started building up an online business in around like 2014, 2015, realized like, oh, online courses are a really good fit for this because it's such a sensitive subject. And, you know, getting people to come into an office and talk about it out loud, like that can be a little bit challenging. And so Xander joined me. Like initially I was just sort of asking him for help. The first thing was like building a spreadsheet. I was like, I don't know how to build a spreadsheet. So he started helping me with little projects and eventually like started taking on more and more, you know, responsibilities and realizing like, oh, this is really fun what you're doing. And it's really cool to be like building up this business. And so he was behind the scenes, kind of like the operations manager for years. And I kept bugging him saying like, will you talk about stuff with me? Like, I want to talk about the fact that, you know, we're a couple, we struggle with a lot of these same things too. And he kept saying like, well, I don't have the qualifications that you do. I don't have that training. I don't have the degrees and the license. And I said, yeah, but that's the point, because I don't know if you guys experience this too. Like, I think sometimes with me, people will say, okay, but yeah, you're the therapist. Of course, this is easy for you to do. Or of course you know what to do in that situation. And so I kept telling him like, it would be so valuable for us to have the perspective from not only for us to talk about stuff as a couple, but for somebody who doesn't have training, who, you know, doesn't have a license. And so I worked on you for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually. And what do you think made you finally break down?
Well, probably a combination of things. On the one hand, I was starting to realize that I was not loving being the operations manager, that, you know, our business was growing a lot and it just I was realizing that it didn't light me up inside doing the operation stuff. And it was really exciting to see, you know, what Vanessa was doing, you know, with content and sort of like as a leader of our growing team. And so there was part of me that kind of wanted to, you know, get out of that operational role. And then on the flip side, I think I started getting more and more involved. It was mostly like Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. And it just took me a long time of really seeing the results of like actually getting feedback from people of like, oh, this is really powerful to hear what you think about this. And so it took some repetitions of like hearing that I actually did have something to offer and that, you know, kind of our powers combined, I think like our, I don't know, like what we were talking about kind of spoke louder to people.
And I think it's also just really important to acknowledge, like, we were super awkward at it when we began. Like, you can look through some of our highlights on Instagram and see some of the older videos. Like, they're very awkward, you know? Like, we don't have these magical superpowers that nobody else has. Like, we just, you know, through that repetition of showing up on Instagram every day and talking about sex, talking about our relationship, like, over time, it got less awkward and easier. And that's really the point I want to drill into other people is, like, of course it's going to be awkward when you first start talking about it with your partner, but like give yourself some practice, give yourself a chance to get more comfortable.
And one of the things you guys do, and like every listener, if you don't follow them on Instagram, you have to, because one of the things you guys do so freaking well is you're one, super accessible with all the free content you put out, but you're also like super human. Right? Like, and not like you're superheroes, but super I mean, human. Like, you're like, your humanity shows very much. And I think that that's really important when we talk about sex, because people seem to have these really dichotomous views about, like, oh, like, I'm far ended of purity culture. I can't talk about it or not. Or I have to be like, I'm having this like overly sexualized, hypersexual thing. And you guys talk about it as like, hey, like we're just married. And like, actually sex isn't like this easy thing we're told that it is.
Right.
We think it's going to be this really easy, totally organic thing. And I love, one of the things you guys are really good at is talking about scheduling sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear about that, because that is when we talk with couples about scheduling sex, people are so resistant.
Really,
right?
Like resistant. That everyone's that like, that is not sexy at all.
Oh my gosh. And you guys are really normalizing. So I want to hear all about your take on scheduling sex.
Yeah. So first of all, I can say when I first heard about scheduling sex, I thought like, this is the worst idea in the world. Who came up with this and thought that this was a great idea? And I had that same reaction, that feeling of like, oh man, if you have to schedule it, that means something's really wrong. Like, you guys are not a good fit. You're not compatible. So I had that reaction too. And then life caught up to us. Like, we got into a really busy period of our lives where Xander was working kind of in corporate America. He was working at Google, working really long hours, a lot of stress. And I was going through, you know, graduate school or doing my hours towards licensure, something like that. And we were just, you know, really starting to drift apart and feeling very disconnected and getting into that stage where you're like, when was the last time we had sex? Like, I can't quite remember. And so we decided to start doing it. And initially still like had that kind of like, oh, this, you know, things are not good. But we started playing around with it in different ways. And I think that's really the secret that we discovered with scheduling sex, is it's the way that you schedule it that really matters. So of course, if you approach it in this very cold clinical, like, okay, it's going to be, you know, 8:13 PM on Wednesdays and we will meet in the bedroom. You will
put
be
it
wearing
in the calendar.
Nothing, and I will, you know, like, of course, if you do it that way, like, that's not going to feel very fun. But we started playing around with different ways of doing it and realizing that when we scheduled it, it actually created this sense of anticipation for both of us of like, ooh, there's something to look forward to. And it started reminding us of like early in our relationship, because I think this is the big thing that so many of us get wrong, is that we look back at the early stages of our relationship and we think, oh, everything was so spontaneous back then.
It was so easy.
It was so easy. Why can't we just go back to that? But if you really think about it, like, what are you doing at the beginning of a relationship? Like, you're scheduling dates with each other. You're putting stuff on your calendar. You're having to make that effort of, ooh, he wants to go on a date with me on Wednesday, but shoot, I've got to make sure that I like get that project done in time. And I want to like go to the gym beforehand or like play around with my outfit. Like we do all of this, you know, work at the beginning of a relationship. And we look at it in that period as being really exciting. Like who doesn't remember getting ready for a date and spending like hours, you know, and like there's nothing spontaneous about any of that. It's just your attitude about the planning is different. So that for us was really the main lesson of like, yeah, sure, we can approach it in this cold, like our sex life is dead, we have to now schedule it. Or we can approach it as how do we bring back some of that excitement, that anticipation, that planning that we used to love so much at the beginning of our relationship.
I love that. And I think, you know, I'm hearing that this is at a time in which, Vanessa, you were in grad school and you were really busy, and Xander, you were doing a ton of work. And so I'm just thinking about if you're in grad school for this, like what that communication initially was like to be able to bring that up to each other. So I'm thinking about like a couple who maybe isn't in grad school for this kind of thing. Like, how do you have that conversation about like, hey, we haven't had sex in a while? How do you initially bring that up to your partner?
Well, I will say, despite Vanessa being in grad school for this, it was not an easy conversation.
Oh, no. I assume.
We probably made every mistake that you can make in how we did it. You know, that's why we do what we do now, to try to help people, you know, to learn from our mistakes and do it right the first time.
Yeah. So I think that talking about what it is that you're wanting to experience with this. So again, it's like, you know, if you go to your partner and you're like, our sex life is terrible, and I think we need to schedule it because this is the only way that we're going to resuscitate it. Like, of course your partner's going to be like, wait, what? Like, what are you saying to me? But if you can approach your partner and like, so first you take a little bit of time to think about like, what is it that you miss about having more regular intimacy with them? Like, what do you feel like when the two of you are like in sync, you're on the same page, you're having a lot of intimacy? Like, think about those specific details and then approach your partner with that of saying something like, I really miss having this time where it's just you and me connecting with each other. I know life has been so busy. There's so much on our plate right now, but I love that feeling of it. Like, it's just you and me in that moment and everything else melts away. And I would really love for us to like find a way to create more of that space. So if you're framing it in that positive, loving way, like, what partner is not going to be like, oh yeah, I want that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. But we have this knee-jerk reaction of like, well, why aren't we having sex? Right. Like there's more energy. So I love what you're saying about being very intentional about the way that you bring it up, talking about what you do want or what you miss as opposed to what you don't want.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to talk about it in the context of like, why do we want to schedule sex? Like, we want to schedule sex because we want to make sure it continues to be a priority, because, you know, we want to have better sex. We want to be able to communicate about the sex that we're having. I think so many people just shy away from the communication about any aspect of sex. Like, for example, just I think yesterday we were polling people on Instagram about like, do you listen to music? Do you have sex silently, or do you have the TV on? And we were shocked at how few people put on music. And then we got all these messages from people being like, oh, well, I want to listen to music, but like, how do you put it on? That seems so awkward. And it's like, well, no, you just have to
put
initiate
it on.
Sex verbally and be like, hey, you want to have sex right now?
Right.
Like, let's go to the bedroom. And then you have like time to plan. Like, you could put on something cute. You could put on music. You could set the lights. It doesn't have to be this purely spontaneous thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also like this interesting thing of people being so fearful that things are awkward. Like, isn't life kind of awkward? Right. Like,
oh,
so
yeah.
Like, what is it about? And that's one of the things. And I think that's what you guys do so great on so much of the content that you put out, which is like, hey, it's okay for this to be kind of awkward. Right. Like, that doesn't actually say anything about your sexual compatibility. It doesn't say anything about your relationship. But for some reason, as humans, we tend to go down that it like says something negative about us if we're not like, perfectly comfortable in all realms. Like, what a bizarre expectation.
I think the media movies have really kind of fucked us up in a lot of ways.
For sure.
Telling us that, like, oh, it's going to be this spontaneous, amazing experience, and then we're both going to orgasm at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be over, and then we'll be in love, and we'll get married, and we'll never fight.
Yeah, and on the other hand, you have movies like American Pie, where it's like showing how everything can go horribly wrong, and you're laughing at that. So of course, then we feel like, oh, well, I couldn't possibly ever be in a situation anywhere close to that.
Yeah, we started talking about it a lot in terms of sexual perfectionism. You know, I think most of us are familiar with perfectionism outside of the bedroom and all the ways it can rear its ugly head, but it's really starting to creep into the bedroom too, where people, you know, like, of course it's understandable, like, who doesn't want to be good in bed, right? Like, we all want to feel confident, but I think a lot of people, it's crossing this threshold into perfectionism where they feel like, no, but I have to be incredible and I can't have any misstep. I can't have any awkward moments. Like, it all has to unfold perfectly. And it's just creating so much pressure for all of us and really sucking all of the fun and the joy out of intimacy too.
Yeah. And then if you have one bad experience, you go, oh, well, I would rather just not do it than have that risk of any of these things going wrong. Mm-hmm.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So, speaking of polling Instagram followers, we put a question box out for you. You got a lot of questions.
So many questions.
Oh,
are you ready to answer some listener questions?
We are ready.
Okay. All right. You can go first, my darling.
I'm going to kick it off. You ready? With a tough one.
All right.
How to work with and heal past sexual trauma with a new partner.
Oh, yeah. I'm really glad that somebody asked that, because this is just a topic that really doesn't get talked about enough. And so I'm going to say something that sounds really, really basic, but a lot of people just don't make that realization. But if you have had some sort of traumatic experience with sex, and the other piece of this too is, most of us really downplay trauma. Like, every time I've talked to somebody who has experienced trauma, I will always hear things like, oh, well, it wasn't that bad. It happened so long ago. Other people have had it way worse. Like, oh, no, no, no. You know, and so I think it's really important for us to all acknowledge and validate, like, whatever trauma or even negative experiences that we've had. So the basic thing that I wanted to say is that our past experiences with sex affect our current experiences with sex. And again, super basic, but so many people don't make that connection. And so I try to talk to them about the difference between how our brains and our bodies process trauma. So in your brain, you might be able to think, sure, that was a long time ago. I'm with a partner who's very safe now, and I don't feel like that would ever happen again. But your body has registered this experience of sex is unsafe. What I want doesn't matter. My boundaries don't matter. Even it's painful, right? And so our bodies are really hardwired to avoid negative, painful experiences like that. And so it makes a lot of sense, if you've been through a trauma, to not have much of a sex drive, to have a hard time staying present in the moment, to not be able to experience a lot of pleasure or a lot of orgasm, or even to feel kind of dissociated from your body. So I think that first step is just like giving ourselves that validation and acceptance. Like, of course, nobody wants to stay in that place where you're feeling traumatized or stuck, but it really has to start with acknowledging, like, this makes sense. I understand why I'm having this reaction, and being so gentle with yourself.
Mm. Okay. You ready?
We have so many. That's why we're just firing them at you.
We're going to just let you guys go. We're not saying anything. You're perfect. Somebody wrote in that their couples therapist said, we can talk about sex, but really just focus on emotional intimacy. How many times you heard this? We get this. People will come in and be like, well, I have another couples therapist, but they only do emotional work. They don't do anything with sex.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
This also ties in with the last question as well, because a lot of people will process a trauma in therapy, but then not actually talk about, okay, now what do I do when it comes to having sex going forward?
Yeah. So I think the important thing for people to understand is that in order to become a couples therapist, you need to get hardly any training in sex therapy. And that blows my mind, because I don't, like, those two things are so intertwined with each other. How is it possible to talk about sex without relationships, relationships without sex, right? But, you know, when I got my license, I needed to do a one unit course on human sexuality. Basically, all I learned was the anatomically correct name for genitals, and that was it, right? So the vast majority of couples therapists, you know, the other important thing to remember about therapists is that we're human too, and that we grow up, you know, learning the same kind of BS that everybody else does. So a lot of couples therapists feel shame and embarrassment around sex, and they haven't actually been trained with the tools that they need to help their clients talk about it. So I think I really want this to change. I really want, you know, more training to be required. But for the meantime, it's important, you know, for people seeking out therapy to understand that this is a big issue, you know, in the field right now. And if you're interested in talking about sex, to really talk to your therapist beforehand and say, you know, is this something that you talk about? Not just the emotional intimacy aspect of it, but the, you know, the physical aspect of it as well.
Yeah. And I think I was also just going to say, you know, to anybody out there in therapy wanting to talk about this stuff, and then, you know, hearing a response like that from your therapist, I hopefully having this information now that, like, most couples therapists don't have that training will help you realize that when a therapist says that to you, it's not a reflection on you of, like, oh, something must be horribly wrong with me because, like, no one wants to talk about that. Like, it's just that person's own insecurities and probably lack of training. And so, you know, it's just a matter of seeking out someone with the right training and the right experience. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with something being wrong with you.
Well, it's so funny because or MFTs, and in our MFT program, you could choose to do the sex therapy track or the family track. So it was an option, but it was, we did the sex therapy track. We worked with couples.
We were going to work with
couples. But a lot of people just did the family therapy track and didn't have it. And right, so two people coming from, graduating the same exact time from the same exact program could have two very different trainings. And so
that
I think that
sounds luxurious compared to the program that I went to in my little one unit class. Like, what?
Also, rhetorical question. How are those families created?
Right.
They've never had sex before, right. Actually. Something you should know about them immaculate is they were all conception. Immaculate conception. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Happy Hanukkah. Okay. this is going to come out so much later. That joke's not going to work anymore. A lot of people want to talk about increasing libido.
Uh-huh. Okay. So libido is a surprisingly complex issue. And I think a lot of us, you know, are struggling with libido and we just want that like fast fix. So like,
give me the pill.
Yeah. What's the supplement that's going to work, or, you know, the hormone replacement or whatever kind of stuff. And libido is so much more complex than that. And I really like to think of libido as an indicator of our overall well-being. Because our libido, I developed I called it the five foundations model of libido to talk about the five major categories of things that can affect it. And there are a lot of things like there's medical. So there's, you know, medical conditions that you might have, medications that you're taking, even injuries or illnesses that you may have had. There's mental. So stuff that you were taught to believe about sex, getting distracted in the moment. There's emotional, which is kind of those deeper, you know, past experiences that we've had, any sort of shame, embarrassment, guilt that comes up around sex. Relational, which I think a lot of people don't realize is what's going on between you and your partner is going to affect how much desire you have for them. So a lot of people are like, why don't I want to have sex with my partner? I mean, I'm so pissed at my partner and he doesn't do anything to help around the house. And we are super disconnected. We haven't spent any time together, but why did I not want to have sex?
It's a mystery.
And then the last one is sensual, which is another thing that I think people don't understand so much, is that there's really like, there's an enjoyment desire connection. So if the sex that you are having is not pleasurable, you are not going to crave it. And so we so often get people saying, you know, I have no desire for sex. We'll ask them, hey, tell us what sex looks like for you. What does it feel like? And it's like, oh, it's super boring. We do the same thing every time. It really seems like it's much more about my partner than for me. It's over really fast. So we're like, okay, so why would you crave that experience? Like that actually doesn't make any sense. But I think we're so quick to judge ourselves. We're like, something's wrong with me. I'm broken. I never want sex. Maybe I'm asexual. Like there's so many judgments that we come up around ourselves. And not to say that there's anything wrong with being asexual, because there's not. It's just a kind of an illustration of how judgmental we can get of ourselves. But really needing to recognize like all of those things are affecting your libido. And so can you take a step back and, you know, treat yourself with gentleness and compassion and think about like, what is it that might be going on in my life right now that's making it difficult for me to tap into that side of myself?
Yeah. And I mean, I can speak from my own experience around that time period that Vanessa was describing earlier, where we started playing around with scheduling sex and playing around with it in not the best way initially. Like I was struggling with my libido. And I very much did think about like, oh, is there a quick fix? Like, do I need to get, you know, I was really close to like going to the doctor to get like my hormones tested. So I was like, well, there just must be something wrong with me. Now, looking back, the reality was I was super stressed at work. I was like commuting, like, you know, spending like 3 hours a day on the freeway. I was working really hard. I was barely ever home. So like stress was super high. There was sort of this built up tension between Vanessa and me around like the lack of sex that we were having. So that was sort of like a negative feedback loop. I was not very healthy. I wasn't working out. I wasn't eating particularly healthy. And so like, of looking back, it's like, yeah, of course I wasn't wanting sex very much. And I think, you know, unfortunately for most people, like there's not going to be a super quick fix, but it is an opportunity for you to ask the tough questions of like, what else is going on in my life? Like what, how can I make changes in my life to, you know, increase my overall well-being, which is, by the way, going to increase your libido. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Like, it starts with each individual person, right?
Yeah,
to be
absolutely.
Able to say what's going on for me.
Well, and I think another thing that I love that you talk about a lot in a lot of the content you put out, Vanessa, is masturbation. Is that sex with yourself is going to be a good indicator of sex with somebody else. But I think that people are very uncomfortable to talk about the importance of masturbation. And first of all,
so
how fucking awesome it is. And, right, like, you know, because unfortunately, once again, it's not talked about at all, unless it's, like, for a lot of people in a very shameful way.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love talking about masturbation. That's like one of my favorite topics to talk about, and especially for cis women, because, you know, there's shame around masturbation for people of all genders, but I think especially for women, we grow up being like, ooh, that's a really bad thing. And so we get to, you know, we get to adulthood, and so many of us have never taken that time to explore our bodies, never figured out what it is that works for us. And then, you know, if we're pairing with men who have had, you know, at that point, years, maybe decades of exploring their own bodies, figuring out exactly what they like, exactly what works for them. You know, there's this really this huge imbalance. And that's why we're seeing such a big orgasm gap with heterosexual couples. I really believe it traces down to that as women, we're denied that opportunity to learn what we like and to be able to, like, advocate for ourselves. So then we end up having sex that really is all about the guy. You know, most of us tend to overemphasize intercourse. We feel like that's the only thing that counts as sex. Everything else is just like the foreplay that you do for 30 seconds before you have the intercourse. And intercourse, oh, conveniently, like, mimics what guys do when they're on their own, whereas it doesn't give women the stimulation that we need. So it just, you know, a whole bunch of stuff gets really stacked up against us.
Okay.
So true.
All right. There are so many questions, and I have to figure out, because I know we don't have a ton of time with you guys. So
we'll do rapid fire responses.
Yes, we're going to do rapid fire responses. Okay.
I think this is a good one because I think it, you know, it really touches on a lot for people. Self-conscious during sex and how to work through it.
Oh, this is such a good one. It's making me think of, so if anybody's listening, go to our Instagram account and look at, we have a highlight called Body Love. We did a really funny story where I asked women, like, tell me what are the specific things that you feel self-conscious of during sex? And I asked Xander about all of them and even pointed out on my body if like some woman said, oh, that, you know, your chicken wings on your arm. So I was like pointing out to Xander, like, here, this is what the little chicken wing is.
Yeah, I didn't know what at least half of these things were. I still don't understand what cellulite is. Like, Vanessa says that like at least once a week. And I'm like, no one has really given me a proper definition of this. Like, what the hell is it?
It's just a really funny story because, you know, he's just in the nicest possible way. He's so clueless about all of this stuff. And I think it's really powerful for us to recognize, like, we are all our own worst enemies when it comes to our bodies. There's literally not a single other person in the world who sees your body the way that you see it. And especially not the person who's like getting to see it naked on a regular basis. So I think I asked you, like, you know, well, what if I'm in a position where, like, you know, my stomach roll is, you know, kind of popping out or something like that? Do you remember what you said?
I know. I was probably like, oh, I guess my same thing probably happens to me. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. He's like, I have literally never thought a single critical thought of your body or of my own body during sex. He's like, I'm having sex. Like, why would I interrupt that flow to be like, oh, wow, look at her chicken wing flapping in the wind there, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm enjoying myself. Why would I want to do something else?
Well, it goes, but it's such a great point, right? Why women entering so much more into the spectatoring state where they leave their bodies and stuff were so highly critical. And you're like, oh, I'm actually here to have pleasure, right? And women are like, I'm here to just be accepted often. You know, like, there's a part of me that this has been about approval and like what sex means for me. And so like, what an interesting thing to sit here. And it's, that's what's so amazing about the dynamic you guys have, to be able to sit here and be like, oh, no, they actually don't give a shit.
Right.
And like, feeling for me too. I was like, wait, really? Like, you've never noticed this? So I think, yeah, I think that obviously self-confidence, like, we could talk about this for days on end, but I think that one of the best antidotes to dealing with negative body image or lack of self-confidence in the bedroom is to try to focus on the pleasure that your body is capable of feeling instead.
I love that.
Okay.
I have another. How to overcome the fear of rejection that comes with initiating sex?
Well, I think the first step on this one is just to maybe expand the way you're looking at rejection. Instead of just focusing on sex, think about life in general. Like, there should not be an expectation that you will never be rejected in life. Like, rejection is part of life. So just first of all, trying to remind yourself, like, okay, yeah, like, I've probably applied for jobs and they rejected me. They never wrote me back. They never called me back. You know, I've been probably rejected asking someone out on a date or whatever, just all the ways that you get rejected probably on like a daily, near daily basis. And then try to be like, okay, well, you know what? Like, if I can handle it in that area of my life, can I think about the possibility of what it would be like during sex?
Yeah, I think we need to accept that rejection is going to be a part of every person's sex life. And that doesn't make it any less painful. Of course, it sucks. Anytime you hear a no, it's awful. But like, Xander and I reject each other all the time. Like, it's just a reality of being in relationships. So I think we do have to have some, you know, form of acceptance over that. But I also think we need to reframe what's actually happening. Like, I don't like the word rejection because it sounds so personal. It's as if your partner is telling you, like, the way that you're hearing it is like, you're unsexy. I do not want to have sex with you. Gross. Ew, go away. Leave me alone. Right. But the reality is that we turn our partner down for sex, like 99.9% of the time, it's because of external circumstances. I'm exhausted. I'm really in a terrible mood. My stomach is so bloated and I'm farting like crazy. And I don't want you to know that, right? So it's like, we're able to realize, like, think about the last time you turned your partner down for sex. Like, you weren't thinking, you're gross and disgusting and terrible, go away, leave me alone. You were thinking like, oh man, I am just, you know, I'm in a mood today and I can't see myself like being there. So I think we need to recognize that on the flip side of it too. When your partner says no to sex, they are not directly personally rejecting you. They are turning down sex in that moment for a particular reason.
Absolutely. And the way in which you go about rejecting your partner too, to be able to say to them, right, as opposed to like, ugh, no, get off me, right? Like, mm-hmm. Just because you're tired or you're stressed, right, as opposed to saying, listen, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I had a really long day, this is not personal to you, I just am, you know, want to chill by myself.
Yeah.
And I think so often we have such like a kind of knee-jerk reaction that sometimes can be hurtful in the relationship. So to be very honest about what's going on for you in those moments.
Yeah, that's why we push so much for people to be more communicative about sex. As like Xander was saying kind of at the beginning of this, like so many people just don't want to open their mouths to even like utter the words, do you want to have sex? And so then the person who's being initiated with is just going to either pretend they didn't hear it or roll over or do like, oh no, kind of thing. Rather than if we can use our words, let's all put on our big boy and big girl and big people panties and use our words. And, you know, then it makes more space for somebody to say, hey, these are the specific reasons rather than the like, oh no.
Yeah. And I think that actually brings up a really good point where, you know, if you are not actually verbally initiating sex, I can understand how the rejection would sting so much more. Like if you're like, I can't talk about sex, it's too hard to even ask about. So like, I'm going to go slip into some lingerie and then I'm going to like do this whole like, you know, sexy act to try to like seduce my partner. And then they say no. Of course, that's going to feel really awful. But if you lowered the stakes a little bit and it was kind of like, hey, would you be interested in like having some sexy time? Like I could go change into something more comfortable. Then, you know, when if your partner does say no, you haven't taken all those steps yet.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Okay, well, speaking of communication, this is a perfect lead-in. Quite a few people, and I'm wondering, some people might be listening to this episode now and thinking like, oh shit, I actually am really bored of my sex life, and that's part of what's led into my decreased desire. So what are your guys' advice with bringing up fantasies and different things you'd like to try in your sex life?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, but I would hold off on that for a little bit because I think the big mistake that people make is they don't talk about sex. They don't talk for years, months. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to finally do it. And we either go like really far to the deep end of starting to like, let me divulge my deepest, darkest fantasies that I've never told anyone before. Or we're at a point where our sex life is so bad. We're feeling so frustrated that what comes tumbling out is just a bunch of complaints. And like, I don't like this. And I hate this move that you've been doing for 10 years. So we always encourage people to really take baby steps when it comes to talking about sex. So I think the best starting point for that is just to start off giving your partner compliments. Like, don't even have an agenda. Don't be trying to accomplish anything. Don't be giving any feedback. Just get comfortable with talking about sex as a, you know, as a topic, you know, as a subject. So give compliments. You know, when you could talk about past memories, like, oh man, that just popped into my head. And that was a really great memory. That was super fun. So like wade into it a little bit. And then once you start getting more comfortable, you guys have had a few conversations about sex, then that's the point where you can start talking about, you know, some of the deeper things or making requests, sharing fantasies, that kind of thing.
I love that. Okay. This question is not on the list, but it just came to my head and I'm curious. Like if you guys go to like Thanksgiving dinner,
how do people treat you?
How do people treat you and what questions or topics do they bring up to you? Just really curious.
Do you lie about your profession when you're just meeting random people? Do you say you're accountants?
We don't. And we have definitely had some funny experiences because of that.
We've gotten a lot better. We've gotten a lot more comfortable with just sort of like the spiel that we give about what we do. And I think with family, it's never been horribly awkward. It's definitely, you know, we've been doing this for a while now. And so it feels pretty normal.
I will say though, Xander's like 93-year-old grandma recently told us that she listens to our podcast. And I turned bright red immediately as soon as she said that. And I was hoping that it was one of those like, yeah, the podcast is great. You know, the general, like, okay, sure, maybe she listened to like the first 5 minutes of something, but no, she went into detail about the specific episodes that she really liked, that she was having her young trainer, her personal trainer at the senior citizens facility that she lives in, which one she was making him listen to. And I was like, okay, this is the, we told you guys at the beginning, it's hard to embarrass us. I was like, oh no, that, I'm embarrassed.
That
I'm
was it.
Just straight up embarrassed.
What a supportive nanny. I mean, truly. Come on, Nana. Wow.
I was very pleased afterwards. And I was like, that is really freaking cool that, like, you know, especially the era that she grew up in, that, you know, she could now feel comfortable listening to the podcast and telling us that. But in the moment, it was definitely like, oh my God, wait, what episode was that? Right. Like, what did I talk about?
Wait, I'm going to pretty much guarantee she is the trainer's favorite client.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure. Like she sounds like a badass lady I would like to hang out with on a Sunday.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, before we end for today, with every guest, we play Calling BS. Which is, we ask everyone to call some bullshit BS that goes on in your field. Whatever comes for you, you want to talk about today. What's your BS?
Okay. We could do two separate ones. My BS will be that there is a normal amount of sex that every couple should be having. I think this is probably the most common question that we get. And people will always ask us about us. And they're like, well, but just tell us how much sex you guys have. Like, there really is no magic number. And I get it that sex is complex. And it would be nice to just have like a very crystal clear, like, you guys, 2 times a week and you're good, right? Like, it's understandable, but it really, truly is not true. Like, there just is no magic number. We've talked to couples who have had sex. They'll have sex a couple of times a year and it's like the best sex ever. It's so connected. It's so intimate. It's really beautiful. And they are so happy. And we have had talked to multiple couples who have sex multiple times a day and they feel like it's not enough, it's bad, we're disconnected. So there just really is no magic number that's going to work for everyone.
All right, my BS is that sex or great sex does not just happen naturally. I think that's so many people just think if it is
wait,
not,
you think the idea that it does not happen naturally is BS?
No, it's sorry. It is BS. Sorry. Let me rephrase.
The double negative is throwing
you
off.
We're just going to contradict everything we've said. Right. Spontaneous and natural. You guys
I
are
knew where you were going.
Wrong.
All right. It is BS that sex should happen naturally. I think that's like behind so many of the things we talked about, but that idea feeds into the like, well, it's supposed to happen naturally, so we shouldn't need to talk about it. I shouldn't need to initiate. It should just happen. I shouldn't need to plan. I shouldn't need to, you know, I shouldn't need to proactively work on my own libido. Mm-hmm. It's just behind so many things. So, you know, the more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you plan for it, the better it's going to be.
Sex is the most unnatural natural act.
Wow. Quote of the episode.
Xander, Vanessa, it was a delight to have you.
Thank
Where
you.
Can people find you and all the amazing content you do? E-courses, you do so much great stuff. How can people find you?
Yeah, we would love to connect with your audience on Instagram. We are at Vanessa Marin Therapy and we do daily stories. We're always talking about like listening, answering questions from people, doing funny polls, sharing embarrassing stories of our own sex life. So definitely follow us there. And we also have highlights, the body love one that I mentioned earlier. And then we have highlights with our free guides and all of our courses. So you can check out everything we offer.
Yeah. And then also you can check out our website at vmtherapy.com.
Amazing. If you enjoyed this episode, please, as always, we want you to do a rate, view, and subscribe and send it to a friend who might like it as well. It's follow on Apple Podcasts. It was a delight to have Vanessa and Xander here today. It's a delight for you to listen to us. We love you. And to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week.